Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Hello there, Marissa.
Hi.
How are you?
I am wonderful. We are coming upon the official kickoff of summer.
Absolutely. You mean Leon Day? No, that was last week. Oh, well. Sorry.
No, I mean the 4th of July, more formally known as Independence Day.
Exactly.
Which is what we're going to talk about today.
We are. And, you know, this is going to be a much shorter podcast. I don't see this going nearly as long as our other ones. Mm-hmm. But I really just want to encourage, you know, the blog post that went out this morning, just the title was July 8th, 1776. Now, we all can think of, okay, July 4th, 1776 was when the Declaration of Independence was signed and became kind of official. But on Monday, July 8th, 1776, a Colonel John Nixon gave the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence to the citizens that had gathered in Independence Square in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly July 4th, but it was just a few days later. Bells rang, bands played, and people celebrated this historic event. One year later, on the anniversary, on July 4th, 1777, the Congress was still meeting in Philadelphia, and they adjourned for the day and celebrated Independence Day with bonfires, bells, and believe it or not, fireworks.
Wow.
Thus began the celebration of Independence Day, which mm-hmm. I think is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. That is cool.
You know, one of the problems that I think we have in our country is that I do not believe that we value our past enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we celebrate what really this country stands for. And the interesting thing is, you know, in a time when the new mediums of social media, you know, where people can post whatever they want, there seems to be an attacking of people expressing opinion as opposed to valuing the fact that you can express opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is the great thing. And I remember once watching a video that Simon Sinek posted, who was born in the UK but became an American citizen because he valued what our country stands for in terms of, you know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, equality, all of those things that our nation stands for. Now, some will quickly say, well, you know what, when some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence kept slaves, that is true. But I also want to say that they all were striving toward what eventually they would call as a more perfect union, a continuous evolution of understanding those values that they had penned, because that's really a lot of them. That's all they knew at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew that it wasn't where it needed to be yet. And for me, those are timeless truths. So I talked about in my post, I gave some quotes. One of the quotes that I put in there was actually from the Marquis de Lafayette, who was a French aristocrat who, if you go to the White House, Tim and I went to the White House a couple years back, and just on the north side of the White House is Lafayette Square, and there's actually a statue of Lafayette. And it was interesting. These were his words as the war ended. Humanity has won its battle. Liberty now has a country. And like, wow, that's pretty deep. Humanity has won its battle and liberty now has a country. Another quote that I put in my post was from our 40th president, Ronald Reagan, where he said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on from them for them to do the same. And so one of the things that I talked about was that, you know, I'm gonna read the Declaration of Independence to my family on July 4th. Because
mm-hmm.
I want my grandkids to begin to start hearing that. So some of the tidbits of history, I mean, I did talk about the quotes from the Marquis de Lafayette and from Ronald Reagan, but here's an interesting one. So we know that the Declaration of Independence was pretty much penned by Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
One of his political foes, yet a great, they were both patriots, but you know, the founding fathers of our country didn't agree on everything. And so one of his opponents, one would say, would have been John Adams. And they, you know, while they fought gallantly, I guess that's the way to put it. Gallant, it might have been a car. Who knows? Anyways, gallantly or gallantly. I don't know how to say it. People can write in and tell us how you're supposed to say. Is it gallant or gallant? Whatever. They fought well together, and then they fought one another as this union was working toward a more perfect union. But on the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, both of them died within 5 hours of each other. I just thought that was cool. And I'm like, who found out that who passed away first and what were their, they did come together, I think, in terms of their friendships just before passing away. And actually the last letter that we have on record of Thomas Jefferson is him regretfully saying that he will not be able to come to Washington from Monticello to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. In fact, then he passed away on that day. So That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Two more things that I really think people need to focus on. The price of liberty and the threats to liberty. And in one of them, you know, what we have in our own country was the Civil War. You know, where there was really this idea, so can we, should the battle of states' rights versus federal rights, and also the battle to free one peoples from being enslaved by another people, and that really the Civil War, you know, some say it was a war over slavery, that is true, but it's also a war over states' rights. And so there were two huge events that took place. And something just fell off my table here, so there was a little bit of a noise there. We can't fix that. Two huge events took place, and I didn't never realized on the 4th of July. And so in 1863, the real citadel for the Confederacy was Vicksburg. And the Battle of Vicksburg really started in May, when General Grant began to figure out how to attack and lay siege to that fortress and city. It was sitting high up on a hill, so it was almost impossible to get to for the Union armies and actually a navy that came down the Mississippi. And so he found ways to literally basically laid siege to the city, really with the hopes that they would not have to attack the city. So he basically cut the city off, surrounded the city. And on the 3rd of July, I think it might have been a General Pendleton who was a Confederate general. I don't have any of this in front of me, so it's just off the top of my head. Wanted to get terms of surrender. And so he and General Grant met, and General Grant said, "Listen, these are the terms of surrender. You surrender. That's what it is. Unconditional, absolute surrender." It took General Pendleton until the next morning to really agree to it. And what I found interesting was this, that so on July 4th, 1863, Vicksburg surrendered. But the folks in Vicksburg, even the folks in the town, were so, they were basically facing starvation. They just tried to hold on and couldn't. And when the Union armies came, so General Grant, and this is one of his trademarks, that when you surrendered, he respected you. And he actually let the people, the Confederate soldiers, go back to their homes. He didn't keep them as prisoners. He let them go back to their homes, even with sidearms, with their pistols, and their honor. And when they left the fortress and also the city, they walked out with honor. And he wanted to make sure that they were honored, even though they had surrendered. And General Grant, in his memoirs, actually writes about the fact that he saw Union soldiers taking bread and food out of their backpacks and handing it to the Confederate soldiers who had just resigned or surrendered, excuse me. So that's the greatness of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Even in a battle like that, when the war was over, you know, General Grant and the Union Army didn't lord it over the Confederacy. Now, the other thing that happened on the week of July 4th in 1863 was the Battle of Gettysburg, which was just one of the bloodiest, most gruesome battles that our country has ever faced. So both of those things, the Battle of Gettysburg, I think, was July 1st to July 3rd, but the Battle of Vicksburg really started earlier but came to a peaceful end on July 4th, 1860. So those are my history tidbits.
It's a reminder that I need to really brush up on my American history. I think I've learned all of it either from you or from, like, the West Wing. But those were all my...
Right. Well, I highly endorse the West Wing.
Yes.
It's an amazing, amazing series.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really remember learning a lot of this stuff in high school like I should have.
Right. I mean, there is a lot to learn. And I think in high school, they condense it down to, I think it's just 1 year.
Right. And the teacher that I had was extremely pro-union.
Mm-hmm.
So she spent the bulk of the time talking about the struggles for the worker and the power of the union. And I'm like, hey, you know, there's going to be a regents at the end of this year. Can we please get to some other things? But I also, in fairness, I did not pay attention like I should have. But I find it fascinating. And I really want our listeners and those that read my post to think about Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about the great privilege we have of living in the greatest country that I believe this world has ever seen in terms of rights and freedoms and opportunities.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to talk about is, what are your favorite 4th of July memories?
Well, my husband and I got married on the 4th of July.
And that is quite a memory.
Yes. So we got married in 2015 and on the 4th of July, which was great because we had fireworks that we didn't have to pay for.
So happy anniversary 1 day early.
Thank you. Thank you. But we also, I have some great memories as well. Just as a youngster, my uncle used to throw a big celebration party up in Alexandria Bay every summer. He hasn't done that in years, but I remember being kids and my mom and my aunt would dress us, like my cousins and us, in like matching 4th of July attire.
Oh, that must have been adorable.
All the red, white, and blue, and be this
very cool
big bash. I also have some fun memories, you know, with sparklers. Like, I don't really know who advised the adults to let the kids have the sparklers, but luckily it was under control. But
well, it doesn't sound like anybody had their eyes put out or got burned.
No, everyone survived. But I think, you know, looking back, I think that while that was all a lot of fun, I didn't necessarily completely understand the holiday. And
right,
you've really brought that to light for me. And I think that's something that I want to even talk to Isla about. She's 3 now, so she tends to understand things a little bit more. And I think it's a great reminder for everyone, because we forget that these days off from work have meaning behind them, and they're not just a long weekend.
Exactly.
So I think I love your idea of reading the Declaration of Independence to your family.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's brief. I think I'm going to see if I can even find like a children's version.
Oh, that would be really cool.
And try to read that to Isla and see how she might not understand at all, but making that a tradition, I think, would be cool. And I love that starting in 1777, that there were celebrations that included bonfires, bells, and fireworks, like you said. I didn't know that, and I used to always think, like, why are there fireworks on the 4th of July?
Sure.
And it's really interesting that it's not something that we created. It was something that has been passed down.
Right, right.
Since the 1700s.
Yeah, and I love that. You know, when I try to think about my fondest memories, and I had shared with this you before we started recording that up until this summer, every summer since I was, I think there might have been one summer I might have been out of town. In fact, I know 1981, I was out of town because that was the year I was engaged. And one of my good friends got married on July 4th. So I was in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I have been on Otisco Lake in a wooden boat watching the fireworks. And they call it the lighting of the lake, where everybody around the lake lights flares, mm-hmm. the red flares at their house on their beaches. And then we would just kind of like drift out toward the north end of the lake, and amazing fireworks. Every year it seemed to be more and more and more. And that was a tradition. And I remember one time having all of our kids were still home, and my cousin and her husband came, and their three boys, and I think even some of my other nephews and nieces might have been here, and we were all piled in, the way too many people in our boat. And I think some of the kids might have started singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic or something. And it was just one of these interestingly wonderful and spontaneous kind of things. Now, this will be the first year that we will not be on the lake,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like my big downer for the week. The lady that was so gracious to let us use her cottage and her dock area, well, our dock, but in her camp, since my parents sold their place, just sold hers. Mm-hmm. And my boat, my engine's not done, so I can't like put it in the marina type thing. But anyways, I think we're going to go to Jeremy, my son Jeremy's house for a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm going to read the Declaration of Independence. So maybe start a new tradition.
Yeah. Yep.
And I love fireworks. You know, for years, we've found places to take our kids. When our kids were really little, I remember when Mike was a baby, you know, sometimes he would be sleeping in the car in a car seat, and my wife and I would be leaning up against the car watching the fireworks in Camillus,
mm-hmm.
you know, or DeWitt when the malls used to do them. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
People need, so why are these things important? Kids remember the traditions, the rituals, the celebrations that families have, and it binds them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how we can take at least the 4th of July, and I think we need to do more of this on Memorial Day, you know, when we're remembering the fallen,
yeah.
that preserved our liberties, to build these traditions for our kids and our grandkids so that they can share them with their kids. Because, you know, that's what Ronald Reagan was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't instill these things into the bloodstream of our kids. We have to teach them to them. The price that was paid, the wonderfulness that we have, wonderfulness isn't a good word, the great privilege of being Americans and being able to hoist a flag up, you know, with stars and stripes that is a symbol of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on my soapbox today.
That's okay.
But I'm passionate about it.
Yes, you are, and it's important to remember. It was a great reminder for me.
It is. So it's not just a day off tomorrow from work. It's a mm-hmm. day to really celebrate
mm-hmm.
the fact that we are citizens of this great country.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, you know, get like my father-in-law and my wife, they were aliens that came and my wife became a citizen. This is her mm-hmm. chosen country. So
mm-hmm.
this is really special.
Yeah.
So obviously you're going to celebrate your anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know, does your family have any other things that you're looking forward to other than happy anniversary?
Not yet. It just kind of snuck up on us.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. We'll do something. I just don't know what yet.
Good. Well, you can fill us in next week. How's that?
I will.
Okay. So with that, folks, have a wonderful, have a safe and a super exciting 4th of July holiday. Mm-hmm. With that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.